from the outside. Other people's lives can look perfect, but have something to hide. Don't miss your true life's calling to be a detective. In this real-life investigation on assassins, imposters, families who kill their own, and survivors. Where we'll also discuss how violent crime causes a ripple effect of trauma and help the victims and their families find new ways to cope with stress left behind. This episode includes descriptions of emotional abuse, child sexual abuse, sexual and physical violence, sibling abuse, and murder. Larry's the son of a famous forensic psychiatrist who led a double life, notable for his roles on the John Gotti and O.J. Simpson defense teams, doctor to a royal princess. Welcome to this episode. Now let's get into it. Here's Larry.
Sometime during my talk with Jerry, he said something very, very important. He said, quote unquote, they have people in the FBI. So I opened up a coffee shop where I wanted to study. My plan was to, you know, and I had to move because of these guys, but when I moved to Davao, I wanted to get set up, okay? Pretty much everywhere. So I opened up a coffee shop. My plan was to go to school, do my criminology degree. Any degree would have been fine to finish college. Okay, I want to finish college, and I'm in school right now too. Coffee shop, school, and hold on to some stock. Okay, I had stock. Man, around that time, I had money in Tesla. I had money in Kodak. You know, when it was like Tesla like $50. Okay. I was convinced that was a good plan to myself. I still do. But as usual, just like the office in Hong Kong. Okay. So Jerry shows up as soon as I open up my coffee bar, like while I'm getting it planned out. I have a business partner from the city hall I met to work on it with me. Jerry's sitting at the at the bar table right outside of my cafe. It was joined like an alleyway where you share coffee shops, or do different people independently have coffee shops in a row, maybe like three or four different places, you know. So my plan was that like an art gallery and coffee shop. And Jerry shows up. He's sitting there, and that was the first time, and we start talking. And the second time, I remember that I had been out the night before, and I left my phone somewhere or something, just as because I owed a tab, and I said, I'll be back tomorrow, I'll pay you, here's my phone. Jerry says, hey, for whatever reason, Jerry knew about it. Jerry says, hey, let me see your manipulation skills. I heard about them. Oh, shit, not these guys again. And so I took them with me. We went there, paid the guy their money, I got my phone back. There is no manipulation skills. And then there's this other the black guy who poses as a real estate agent, plays basketball at the Val Courts. He has these meetings, him and this other white guy, American, where they go in the middle of the street and a Filipino guy, big guy, talks to them. And we're just having a serious discussion, like literally in the middle of the street, and they have conversations. And that guy comes up to me, and I sit down next to him, and he says, hey, so you're a master manipulator. And, you know, those guys. So what else did that guy say? Well, that guy says, he talks about, oh, you can't kill people, something like that. But look, this is just, it's harassment by whoever is floating this information around. Jerry pulled out a deck of cards and asked me what one of the cards reminded me of. And it was like he was trying to play some Incurian candidate bullshit type stuff. And my business partner from City Hall, who we're really getting along with and proceeding with, it's hard to find business partners, you know. And she overheard. She came in, apparently, walked in on Jerry talking to me, and then walked out. She comes back to me later and says, is it really true what he said? Are you really Illuminati? And, you know, that's the kind of bullshit. So anyways, going on to the next time I saw Jerry, Jerry takes me on a walk. And one of the people, and again, I'm going through this quickly. Later on, you have any questions, anybody has any questions or details, we'll go back on it. But so Jerry invites me on a walk. We go on a walk. And one of the local people comes up to me, a young boy, like a teenager, because I'm a friendly guy. He says, hey. And he says, hey, that guy, don't hang out with him because look. And there was some guy with a satchel coming to meet him, to meet Jerry. And it appeared to be a drug dealer in a place where, this is where Duterte lived, okay? This is like a very underground movement, drugs over there. And I wasn't interested, and I wasn't interested in doing anything like that. But for Jerry to go ahead and invite me on that, knowing what we do now, get up to like the fifth or sixth time I saw Jerry, he was in the police station and he saw his police ID for drug task force. Timeline's pretty iffy, but basically about the same for this short period of time. Well, I said to Jerry, you know, Jerry, I have your picture with my phone. I have a friend at the airport. And I was just pranking him. I'm going to have him ID you. And he freaked out. So I got a call the next day because we had exchanged numbers by then. And he's like, I got to the mall. We met at a Starbucks in the middle of this whole atrium. And he's like, hey, did you really show my photo to people and, you know, this and that? And so another time I met Jerry was I brought him into a place that I asked someone to check out Jerry and ask him questions and see what kind of guy this is. And so there was this Navy guy, one of the few karaoke bars in downtown that was owned by a Navy guy, 20 years in the Navy. Navy guys, 20 years, I mean, most of them, but, you know, they're pretty good in the head. And obviously, they know about things like what goes on with security companies or people in Mindanao, for sure. He's there, and he was there for a long time. And so I introduce him to Jerry, then I come back later, and he says, hey, you know, it's funny, because Jerry's talking about the same things you are. You know, because I was telling him, they're just security guys, who the hell are they? And he says, you know, it's my opinion that Jerry's in the witness protection program. And I was like, huh? You know, just telling you what he said. And at least, you know, he seemed like a nice guy, you know. So, a little goofy, but he was involved in something. Oh, Jerry told these guys that had some clubs that I was an investor, and he was supposed, because these guys came up to me. These guys said that Jerry told them that I'm an investor. And I was like, me? I'm not an investor. And these guys might have been something to do with what Jerry was doing, because these guys had a whole big beach club, and who knows where the money came from. And, you know, Jerry took me on that trip. But finally, I got back to my cafe once, just around the time my furniture was stolen, and I had to close the place because I couldn't open it with no furniture, and someone stole my lease agreement, this and that. Someone said, hey, your friend Jerry got arrested. He's not my friend. He says, well, he was selling counterfeit Marlboros. And, okay, where is he? He says, at the police station. I said, okay, I said to myself, I'm going to buy him a sandwich. I called the police and said, is he there? He said, I'm going to bring you a sandwich over for him. So I brought a sandwich to the jail, and I go in there, and he had a satchel, and he's sitting at the table like I'm sitting right now, and he's talking to the policeman, and he pulls out this like big ID, like this big, and it has his name and picture on it, and it says Quezon City Drug Task Force. And it appeared to be a get out of jail free ID or something. If you know catch my gist. Well, what else could it be? Hell if I know. But I'm just saying what happened. Now, one more thing that happened with Jerry is he came over to my house. And, you know, as bad as things are with family, I still kept a photo of my family just to remind me where I'm from. And as bad as it is, or was even, and Jerry points to my father's face and says, I wouldn't want to cross that line.
Sometime during my talk with Jerry, he said something very, very important. He said, quote unquote, they have people in the FBI.
Thank you for joining us on Catch a Child Killer podcast. We hope you felt your crime detective calling and could appreciate our provocative subject matter. Please take a moment and subscribe, comment, or like us on your YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or your favorite social media. We hope you listen to our next episode. And remember, life is not always perfect, especially for the victims.